In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. In case you haven't caught on, this is Transfiguration Sunday, where Jesus goes up onto the mountain and God's glory is revealed through him to those who went up with him. But it's an interesting thought as we look at it going forward from where it began. This understanding of Moses in the Old Testament. He went up to the mountain where he was talking with God. He came down, his face is shining bright. And the Israelites were afraid to go near him. And then we move forward to today and our understanding of our access that we have to God. Things have changed. This is that moment where Jesus is beginning to show his disciples that he is the true God, he is God incarnate, and this new covenant is being born through him, which gives all people an opportunity to come into alignment with God's will with their lives. God has never taken and never will remove from us our opportunity to choose our own free will. He will, however, invite us to align our will with his. And this is yet another indication of how accessible he is to his people and those who follow him. Knowing that in the time of Moses, the concept of running into God face to face would mean death. So much fear around that when Moses would come back from speaking with God and his face was shining bright, they're like, you got to cover it because we're afraid we might die just looking at the glory of God on your face. Things have changed, but not necessarily at this moment. This moment of transfiguration has all these indicators of the Old Testament understanding of the presence of God, with one exception. Nobody died. They were able to see that. Paul picks it up in 2 Corinthians. I think we should back up just a couple verses, so of course we will. Verse 10. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. This understanding of the presence of God has always been a glorious thing, but it was something that couldn't be necessarily encountered or looked at. But now there's a greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come in glory. Then he picks up. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness. See, we have been invited into a relationship in this new covenant through Jesus Christ, a very personal relationship with God. A relationship, by the way, that was broken by human will and will be reconciled only through the grace of God. We can choose to align our will with God's, or we can choose to be our own person with no connection with God. The choices are ours. Paul would say, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened indeed to this very day when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant. That same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. The veil, brothers and sisters, is this understanding that we cannot be in the very presence of the glory of God. Jesus Christ has changed that. In the Transfiguration, we're beginning to see that. He showed to a few people this connection all the way through and revealed himself as the very glory of God. And we have this choice. We can walk along in that, and we can do it boldly, because seeing the face of Jesus will not cause death. It only brings life. And Paul is leading us to understand that, leading the church in Corinth to understand that. This is a new covenant. We don't function with a veil. We don't live in this fear. We can see at this side of the cross that God, from the beginning, has had a plan for his people. We can also see that in that plan was God had left us free will. So in the garden, that free will changed the relationship. And God has ever since had this plan of bringing us back to him. First, these 10 little things. Let's gather these people. Here are 10 laws. See if you can live within them. Then people will know that you are my people. And things grew from there. Some good, some of man. But God was still there. The plan has always been to bring the Savior. All the prophets said so. We stand here claiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The veil lifted so that the world can see his glory. But the thing about the glory of God being seen in the world today is, where will it come from? Verse 16. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. There is freedom in our lives with Jesus Christ. The world will often look at us and think that we are bound and not free, because there are things within the world that we choose not to participate in. Sometimes. There are things in the world that are not of God, but the world thinks that maybe those things are good. So when you choose to follow Jesus, most people see it as giving up, not gaining. You're giving up your life. Paul would say, no, you lose your life to gain your life. That is still true. The burden of trying to live into the expectations of this world is very heavy. But when we choose to give our lives back to the one who gave his life for us, our risen Lord, the one who by his grace, mercy, and forgiveness can bring us to being who he created us to be, when we surrender to that concept, there is freedom. Freedom. I know people don't necessarily see it that way, unless, of course, you have surrendered to it. My life, to most people, doesn't look very free. And to be honest, there are days I'm not sure it is. I walk around with this collar on my neck, and the joke is I have to be on a short leash. God, I'm not allowed off the porch because I just get in trouble. But you know, there is freedom in that. When I was trying to make my way in the world and take my place in the world, all I did was work and work and work for it, and I could never obtain anything. In fact, I usually just got lost in it. Went chasing after the things of the world, and they all were dead ends for me, all of them. The freedom came when I finally decided maybe I'll just give up to God what is his, which is me. And then the freedom came. We're in the new covenant. We don't have veiled faces. We don't hear the law and go, oh yes, I have to go back to following the law. We live under the new covenant, the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, where we have access to a living God who will transform our lives from glory to glory so that we will begin to look like him, So when we're looking into the mirror, our very face is showing and shining the glory of God, not to cause fear among others, but so that others can see the glory of God and be invited in to be part of that which God intended for them. Amen? This is what is happening. And for us, as holy innocents today, we should hear these words very, very clearly. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are being transformed to be like Christ. We are not going to be Him, just for clarity. But we, by His grace, can be like Him. So when we think of our mission statement, we have shorter versions of it. The paraphrase is transformed lives. I snuck it in on you, didn't I? Transformed lives. It's a two-part thing. That transformed life is what Paul's talking about. We are being changed, transformed by God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That glory, by the way, degrees, doesn't mean this type of glory or that type of glory. It means how much of the one glory, which is the glory of God. To what degree have we been transformed into the reflection of the very glory of God? Not His presence, but a reflection of Him. That's a transformed life. That's how the world is transformed. If we collect up a whole new list of laws to live by, as opposed to living in the grace of God, if we veil that which we know and understand to the world so that they aren't scared by the glory of God, no one will see. We are bold with unveiled faces, the very reflection of God in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, the gift given to us, and the gift we remember every week when we gather here at this place, this altar where God breaks in every week, the very presence of God. And people will look at us and think things are strange. So in a few minutes, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to put on a chasuble. And many people would look at that and say, well, look how you dress. Look how you behave. And you want us to look at Jesus. And I would say, yes, if you understand what I'm doing. When I put that on, I'm dressing to match the furniture. I don't put it on to stick out. I put it on to blend in. See, my job is to point to Jesus. Your job is to point to Jesus. And when I'm standing at that altar, which now is on that side of it instead of this side, that's another story. But the purpose of me blending is so that I don't distract you from the very moment of the understanding of where God reaches down into His people and touches us again and again and again. So that we can be transformed from one degree of glory to another. This is one of those moments when that takes place. That's the primary reason we come here. We do a lot of other nice things, but we come here to be touched by God. And our understanding is His very presence. Not only will you see His very presence in these elements, but you will hold His very presence in your hand. And you will place His very presence into your body again and again as we are transformed from one degree or another, from glory to glory, so that we may be His reflection to the world with an unveiled face, boldly proclaiming the goodness and the fullness of the glory of God. But we have to surrender. You can't earn it. You can't get a list of rules to follow. You just have to let go. Sounds like a bumper sticker. It's not. He just is saying to us over and over, come to me. Today in the Transfiguration, he says, come to God. You won't die. You will find life. You will find freedom. You will find all those things that you have tried to get from the world and have failed. And you will always fail to get it from the world, because what you're seeking only comes from God. We are no longer bound to following the law to find our relationship with God. We will follow the law out of our gratefulness and out of our relationship that comes when we take his outstretched hand and say, I will follow you. Be transformed from glory to glory so that the world can see the fullness of the glory of God. Amen.